Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Florida has been hit with a storm the MSM predicted would continue as a Category 3 that hit Cuba. And who knows, it might go to Cat 4, they warned. Well, it's been downgraded to a tropical storm. Thank God. Huge damage, lives lost. Our system requires the governor to contact the acting POTUS to request help before the feds can legally move in to assist the sovereign state. And unlike that idiot in Louisiana a while back who proudly refused to call Trump, DeSantis has the interests of the Floridians uppermost in his mind, and he sent the request for federal assistance to Biden. As per law, joyless Behar depicted Santis as groveling at the feet of the great and mighty Biden, coming to him with hat in hand. I mean, there's no word for these people that aptly comprehends their malice, hatred, meanness, just mixed up with just a bunch of stupidity. Pray for our families. I do have family in Florida and our friends, and also South Carolina, of course, and Georgia. I'm headed to South Carolina this weekend to attend the National Prayer Conference with Dr. Benny Beckham. The governor there in South Carolina praised the mayors along the impacted coastal cities who were well prepared. He said, "This is not as bad as it could have been." He said a lot of prayers have been answered. He cautioned, "Don't stop praying because this is still coming." Biden bungles sets a new fumble record, I think. Here's another of at least 50 good reasons to vote Brian Dolley for California governor. And talking about Dolley, here's a Dolley to remember. Dolley Madison, wife of James Madison, founder and fourth president of the United States. When the British set fire to the White House, she rescued a now iconic painting of George Washington and several other historical and valuable artifacts, including, some think, a crystal flute lately defiled by Lizzo on full display in D.C. We'll talk about that. Xi and Putin are getting snuggly. CCP and Russia are conducting joint naval operations in the Bering Sea near Kiska Island, only 80 miles off the Alaskan coast. And what about those rumors that Xi has been ousted or is about to be? 47 pro-life pregnancy centers have been brutally attacked by pro-abort extremists. They look a lot like domestic violence or violent extremists to me and to any other sane observer. But the FBI are too busy rounding up DVEs of the supposedly MAGA Trump supporters to bother with people who are actually firebombing Christian ministries. Netflix rolls out their series, a new one, telling the story of Jeffrey Dahmer. Remember him? He's the homosexual who seduced not-so-gay men to his home, where he murdered them, cut them into pieces, ate them, and stored the leftovers in his refrigerator. Yeah, it's a true story. Read about it here. It's what happens next that makes this story one for the brain massage show. Finally, God will wait for a nation to use the sword of judgment that he has given to it, intended by him to execute wrath upon evildoers, Romans 13. But he will wait only so long before he steps in and takes it into his own hands. Biblically, the two sins that reach unto heaven and draw down the fire and fury of God's wrath are these: the shedding of innocent blood and embracing and promoting unnatural sexual behavior. Okay, folks, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Biden bungles, sets a new fumble record, looks for dead Indiana Republican senator in a recent event at D.C. He said, "I want to thank all of you," he went on, then to name some Republicans that he wanted to express his appreciation for their support, bipartisan support. And then he mentioned, "Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? Well, Jackie was killed in an auto accident along with two of her staffers about 3 months prior. The White House, per Biden's orders, flew the flag at half-mast. You'd think he'd remember that, at least, that he participated in the services in our memory. So I don't think, as the pretending POTUS expected, and he said, quote, I thought she was going to be here. USA Today explains it was a class act. Yeah, totally professional. It demonstrated generosity. I kid you not, friends. I'm not sure what is more disturbing. That the acting POTUS, with emphasis on the word acting, would be looking for a dead person to show up at an event, or that USA Today would say that this faux pas was one of Biden's finest moments. Acting professionally, generously, like the entire deep state community has been dumbed down to AOC level. You caught her latest, surely. She complained that, quote, the same people who tell us that COVID is just the flu, end quote. Well, that's what Fauci called it at first. And it's what many in the medical establishment are saying it has become lately. And then she goes on that climate change isn't real. Yeah, like the group led by Nobel laureate and joined by 1,200 scientists. And I've got about five other articles here for you to read about that nonsense. And then she goes on that J6 was nothing but a tourist visit. Well, you know, actually, I'm sure there were some tourists there. But I've never heard anybody dismiss that whole mess as a mere tourist event. So where is she coming up with that? She's just lying. That's what she does. And then she goes on to say, and are now trying to tell us that transgender people aren't real, end quote. Wow. Really? That's the weirdest thing I think I've ever heard come from her mouth. And I've heard some really weird, bizarre stuff. But perhaps she's speaking existentially. You know, she's so intelligent, went to college and everything. And operating on a high level of consciousness, framing a sort of syllogism in her mind, right? One, people are real. Two, some people are transgendered. And so three, transgendered people are real. if so, someone should bop her on the head with a Laputan bunker. You need some background in Swift Gulliver's Travels to appreciate that. And I don't have time to elaborate, but the chances that AOC has an intelligence quotient even approximating the king of the floating island of Laputa, means whore, by the way, is so remote, we're going to have to conclude that AOC is just as dumb as anyone listening to her might think that she is. No, AOC, transgendered men are still male, and transgendered women are still female. That's what we're saying. Ask all of those hardworking female competitors that lost to Leah Thomas. Meanwhile, Biden's red speech, where he called MAGA supporters terrorists, where he painted a target on the backs of God-fearing patriots. Have you seen the backdrop for China's CCP conference coming up, by the way? It looks eerily like Biden's backdrop for that speech. Anyway, Biden's speech served to provide political cover for his FBI assault on Americans suspected of voting for Trump. Remember driving while being black or something like that? His speech also served as a dog whistle call to the few that did vote for him, you know, to hunt down and kill MAGA America firsters. One of those dogs was North Dakota Biden voter Joseph Brandt, who was charged for murder, by the way, with an instrument, which is a class AA felony, and carries a maximum of life in prison. Well, I'm glad to hear that. He got into a dispute with an 18-year-old MAGA Republican. Yeah, this guy's 41 years old. He's arguing with his kid. Apparently, he lost the argument. Went crazy. It looks like he knocked the kid down and then ran over him with his car. I don't know where it's going to go when all the facts come out, but that's the way it's looking right now. When he called 911 to report the accident, quote unquote, he explained he got into an argument with a Republican extremist. Yeah, he's trying to make it out there that he was threatened by that 18-year-old. I don't think that's going to fly. You look at the story as I have. I guess that depends on whether his attorney, however, can find enough sane people for a jury. Good night. Anyway, let me give you a good reason to vote for Brian Dolley for California governor. I mean, beyond the fact he's an honest farmer, he's been at it for years, his family's been in California for 92 years and so on. Anyway, Newsom just signed Senate Bill 107 that empowers the sovereign state of California to legally, and I'm doing air quotes here, kidnap and then mutilate children if parents in other states want to rescue their child from culture and gendered confusion. This is the assessment of California Family Council, a group that I've followed and noticed does a pretty good deep dive into the language of these bills. I'll have to save that for later, haven't had time. To be clear, some kid, let's say, that has been badgered by teachers into confusion about his or her God-given gender assignment, and then pressured into thinking they would be happier as a member of the opposite sex, now we have a law that encourages, perhaps, LGBTQIA plus groups to assist these kids and supporting families to cross state lines from states that prohibit that nonsense into the jurisdiction of Newsom's California tax-funded sex change program. Yeah, come over here, we'll even pay for it. Where they will start injecting these kids with hormones, preparing them for surgery, in which they will butcher these children into freakish distortions. If anyone thinks this only applies to kids from other states, think again. I'll touch on a law that hides this kind of stuff from parents here in California. We knew this guy would Frisco, California, didn't we? Another good reason to vote for Dolly, for California governor, Newsom wants to eliminate your right to keep and bear arms. He's made that very clear. He wants to make California a sanctuary city for abortion rights. And his party wants to provide an abortion for teens without parental consent. And not only abortions, sex change operations as well. In fact, they don't even want to inform the parents about it after the fact. Dolly rightly said there is no right to abortion in our Constitution. He was referring to the state constitution. I would add either federal or state, by the way. But he said there is a right to keep and bear arms. Vote Dolly. Hold on to the break, my dear friends. I'll be right back.
The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today. And Antichrist sentiment is rising in America too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to godswar2020.com. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is
hello
on
and here. Welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march. An enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Dolly Madison, wife of James Madison, one of our nation's founders and fourth president of the United States, was given a crystal flute in honor of his second inauguration. Lizzo performed in D.C. lately and was loaned James Madison's 200-year-old crystal flute to assist her in her performance, which she used to accompany a, I guess it was a twerk act. I suppose that's what you would call it. I'm not sure how to characterize what it looked like. I'd never heard of Lizzo and did not know Madison was given a crystal flute as a gift for his second inauguration as president. Did you? It was made by a French fellow named Claude Laurent of Paris, and it's an invention he called the flute in crystal. 1806, by the way. He made only two of these. The other one he made, I think, in 1813 for James Madison. The other glass flutes that he has made were not made of leaded crystal. Anyway, what does all this mean? Why would the brain masseur care about something so droll? I watched it and wept. It's customary for a conquering nation, you know, to take the relics of former cultural, military, political heroes of the conquered people and expose them to public ridicule and shame. It's also one of the signals of God's divine judgment upon a nation. In the waning days of Judah, Jeremiah declared their enemies would drag out, quote, the bones of the kings of Judah and the bones of his princes and the bones of the priests and the bones of the prophets and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the host of heaven whom they have loved and whom they have worshipped. They shall be for dung upon the face of the earth, he said. But thankfully, see Ezekiel 37:4, God can make those bones live. Anyway, here, my point is, out trots Lizzo, dressed like some pimp's hoe. I mean, literally. A low-class hoe at that. The kind you see on certain streets in Newsom's Frisco. The girl's got to weigh in at 400 pounds. She's twerking? Really? She blows a tone, not a tune, by the way, a tone on the flute, and then giggles and waddles, and well, there's really nothing more to say about that, except these people have no class. That was like in-your-face, James Madison, in-your-face, Founders. But don't let this sideshow distract you from what's going on behind the veil. Let's go to what we really need to be concerned about. Xi and Putin are getting snuggly. Yeah, CCP and Russia conducting joint naval operations in the Bering Sea near Kiska Island, I understand, only 80 miles off the Alaskan coast. A C-130 Hercules chopper provided air support for the National Guard patrol ship that spotted this convoy. As soon as the CCP and Russia joint naval op was discovered, well, they broke formation. One of the ships was identified as a guided missile cruiser. What? And a destroyer. The other two were not identified. I'm not sure they had a carrier there or not. This comes on the heels of a warning of CCP interest in the Arctic and Russia's military buildup there. This came from NATO Security General Jens Stoltenberg. The CCP has declared itself to be a near-Arctic state. Now, this is a ruse, really, to give CCP's intrusion into Arctic affairs a quasi-legal status. CCP has declared it has a legal and legitimate interest in the region and wants to establish an Arctic Silk Road. They also want to dictate the use of this resource. Russia is building new and reopening old Soviet-era deep-water ports and military bases all over the Arctic, including airfields, by the way. And these are preparations for war, folks. There's no other reasonable way to view this. Meanwhile, we are watching rumors of Xi being under house arrest, that the PLA, the People's Liberation Army, is taking over Beijing and the Communist Party there. Something advocated, by the way, by popular Chinese General Li Xiaoming and enthusiastically supported and embraced by Xi. With reports of military convoys rolling toward Beijing and military resources gathering at Xi's home or his residence, sudden and unexpected cancellation of hundreds of flights in and out of Beijing, and all of this on the heels of Xi's crackdown on dissident ministers with suspended death sentences on two of them and life sentences on four other top officials. Why? Well, they only told us that it's because they were part of a political clique. I'll have more to say about that in my visit tonight, Comfort and Counsel, my live stream. But add to this Xi's disappearance from public view for 10 days after his meeting with Putin, followed by the weird appearance that observers looked at, and I looked at it too, and it does. It looks staged. And all of this coming up on the CCP 20th National Congress, where a new leader for China could be appointed. It doesn't seem likely to me, but what is going on here? Maybe Xi is just bringing all this military presence to kind of ensure his election, his nod to continue. Because it was required that anyone 68 years or older at the time of this conference must resign. Well, Xi is 69. But the law in China serves more like, how do the pirates put it? Sort of guidelines, you know, like America. We might hope some rumored Christian Nicodemus types that we have heard are burrowed into the CCP might rise to power. But the CCP general, who is at the center of these rumors, doesn't show that promise. Instead, he just might be a much more aggressive war hawk than Xi's slow, methodical approach to taking over the world, bringing America under Chinese communist rule. Is the party becoming impatient? Now, consider the two great sins that bring a nation into judgment before God. Following a general forsaking of God in the land, a nation's culture degrades rapidly, followed by corruption in all of its ruling institutions. I mean, to the level of state-sanctioned killing of the innocent, and condoning, embracing, and then even enforcing unnatural sexual perversion. Remember Sodom. Now, we had a reprieve in the matter of the first crime against heaven in the overturning of Roe. However, as I rejoice with all who support the baby's right to life, I also warn this was likely to be the beginning of the real fight for life. You've seen the insanity on the left in reaction to the overturning of Roe. Or the representatives of the people are going to have to step up, I'm talking about the Senate, Congress, to this evil and go with a Graham compromise or something like it that formally legalizes the murder of babies from conception to the 15th week is what he wants. Now, friend, there's no negotiation with the devil on this business. If it's okay to kill the baby the day before the 15th week, then by what rationale is it not okay to kill it after? The exceptions for rape and incest are ludicrous. We don't kill the innocent child because it was conceived by a heinous act of rape. We kill the rapist. Or incest, kill that fella too. Americans know the baby's heartbeat can be detected at 6 weeks now. That cat got out of the bag. No matter what that jewel of Georgia, Stacey Abrams, might say, it is true that in most cases, a woman doesn't even know or realize she's pregnant until it would be too late to kill the baby if they had a 6-week rule. Nevertheless, that's only because technology has developed to the point we can see the baby in the womb through sonograms and so on, and we can register its heartbeat. According to the science, a baby's heart begins contracting rhythmically at 3 weeks. As technology advances, I think evidence will continue to come out that will fully establish the baby is a living human being at conception, which, by the way, is the only reasonable and scientifically supportable position to take. But the truth is, none of this matters to the radical pro-abort crowd. They've acknowledged the fetus. By the way, the word means little child. Thank you, Michael. The radical abortion crowd has openly admitted that they are advocating for the murder of a human baby. And they have suggested this right to abort should extend beyond the womb for up to 5 years. Some wince at that and offer, well, you know, how about 3 years? Can you believe these people? Others suggest 1 year would be a sufficient amount of time for the mother to figure out whether or not she wants to be a mother or whether or not she wants to add another to her brood. Unbelievable. The Pro-Life Pregnancy Center, and by the way, I've got documentation for all this in my notes. The Pro-Life Pregnancy Center, Compass Care in Buffalo, New York, led by Pastor Jim Harden, CEO of the Compass Care. Pregnancy center was firebombed by radical pro-abort terrorists. You can't call them anything else. That's what they are. A group calling themselves Jane's Revenge has come out and taken credit for the bombings, but I understand they don't specify which bombing they're responsible for. By the way, there have been 47 pregnancy centers that have been attacked by pro-abortion extremists. Did you hear anything about that? So, when the police came to investigate this bombing, they took the video evidence provided by the pastor. No arrests have been made, by the way. In fact, no arrests have been made by the FBI with regard to the other 47 brutal attacks that have taken place. 47 cases, zero arrests. Meanwhile, the FBI are very busy creating cases of DVE, domestic violence extremists. But they ignore these radical terrorists attacking peaceful pro-life service organizations, kind of like that Summer of Love nonsense, what, 250 riots or whatever it was that were destroying property. Pastor Harden wanted the police to return his video, but their lawyer, that is lawyer for the police there, explained they would not do that because the video might, and are you ready for this? They were concerned the video might incite right-wing extremists. And listen, the shedding of innocent blood. Now, let's look at the cultural embrace of unnatural sexual expression or perverted sex followed by political endorsement and legal enforcement. That's what happens. Here's Representative Pocan. He introduces legislation to create the first national LGBTQ history museum in D.C. My wife suggested the first exhibit should be Sodom and Gomorrah. The left is getting backed into a corner, my friend. They're losing public sympathy big time. I mean, their own party's deteriorating from under their feet, kind of like sand pulled from under their feet while standing on the beach, you know. And like their model Hitler, who marked a group with his yellow armbands, hurled on them slander and lies, turning public sympathy against them, and then finally announcing the final solution. Watch out. We've seen how these types operate in the past. And the stupidest thing we can do now is to fail to learn from it. Meanwhile, Netflix rolls out their new series telling the story of Jeffrey Dahmer. Remember him? He's the homosexual fella who seduced homosexual men into his home, where he murdered them, cut them to pieces, and ate them, and then stored their remains in his refrigerator. It's a true story. You can read about it here. So Netflix tags the series with LGBTQIA+. Now, that tag is to allow viewers to know there's something about the content of the film that might be of interest to such persons. The spokespersons for organizations committed to advancing and protecting the interests of that community protested, pressured Netflix to remove the tag. They didn't like having homosexuality identified and portrayed in that way. And, of course, Netflix acquiesced to their request. So now the homosexual community instructs the conscience of our culture. If you want to know what cultural sensitivity standards you should respect in the United States today, well, don't ask a Christian. Ask the LGBTQIA crowd, or the BLM crowd, or the Antifa crowd, you know, Marxists, socialists, homosexuals, perverts. Ask those people. They have been given the moral high ground in our society, and their values are being referenced as the standards that guide us in moral decisions. You got to be kidding me. Do you remember when they would scream in our faces, get your morality out of my pants, or out of my bedroom, or out of my life? You know, who are you to say, and so on. Remember that? Well, whose morality is being forced on us now? All of this is leading to something, my friends. God will wait for a nation to use the sword of judgment that he gave to government for the purpose they might execute wrath against evildoers, Romans 13. But he will stand by and wait only so long before he steps in and takes that into his own hands. Expect a major intervention. Expect it soon. But like I've said many times, you will not like it. I promise you, unless the remnant repents and we return the sword to the hands of the righteous beginning November 8, 2022. And then those who step in don't hold back the sword, but will faithfully employ it in the work of executing judgment to restore justice. Well, friend, we're going to face God's wrath. I mean, in a big way. And if God has to step in, it's not going to be pretty. Listen, it will become deeply entrenched, and it will compromise the entire nation. And when judgment is executed, as it must finally be executed, it's going to cost the entire nation, and it's going to cost big time. Remember the price we paid for slavery. Now, we need to stand, as did Moses, with our hands up in prayer, interceding for our nation. And our Aaron and Hurs must support these men of God praying for this nation. The battle will turn on the prayers of God's remnant. All right, my friends. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Email me by going to our website at brainmassage.net. That's brainmassage.net. Find the contact button. Send me an email. You can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. And that is 805-314-2114. 805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
The battle for America is on. The spirit of Antichrist has risen in our land against the spirit of Jesus Christ. What side are you on? Choose wisely. Go to GodsWar2020.com. Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.